Praise God. Is that better? Hallelujah. Amen. I think I was doing a test to see if you guys thought that I was as loudmouthed without my microphone as with my microphone on. So at least we passed that test. But anyhow, I'll say again, welcome to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you, everybody, that we're a week away from our first official full week of vacation Bible. What's it called? It is Vacation Bible School. So I was right? Okay, very good. So we're one full week away from Vacation Bible School with all the kids being here, and it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like a zoo atmosphere. I'll let them explain that to you more. And also remember that we've had a lot of great participation, but we do have a little station out there where you, whether you're going to be here to help or not, can still be involved in touching our kids, and there's an opportunity for you to invest in that. So please make that available. And tonight we are going to get ready to worship the Lord. Amen. I want you to know something that I was just wanting you to know, that in the Bible, the main reason that Moses went to Pharaoh is that he said, you have got to let God's people go to a place where we can worship him. And they said, we cannot afford to leave anything here because we don't even know yet all the ways in which we're going to be able to worship and honor God. Amen. And so I want you to know that tonight, make sure that you brush off the world. If you've had a bad day, I want you to just cast it aside. If you've had difficulty going on, I want you to really just let that stuff out of yourself and begin to worship God. Because if you can focus on him, all those things will get better. Seek ye first, and I promise you, in every area, God will help you. Amen. So tonight, let's just open up our hearts and let's just make sure that we walk through and worship the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pursue him tonight. Holy Spirit, take my hand out. Lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring. You are stirring. You're the life for your sons and daughters. I go open. Rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling us deeper, deeper still. You're calling us deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going.
Go to read.
apart tonight. And I'm not backing down from any giant. 'Cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
Pastor Regina's with me, man. Things are not as in control as they ought to be. Amen. But you know, I think that that's the beauty of our spouses. Amen. They complete us, and they have attributes that we within ourselves are never going to have on our own. Amen. That's why we're together, because the differences God has in us brings us to those great places. Amen. So we are probably not going to get through all the announcements as fast as she would like, amen? But that's okay. We're just going to hang in here for a few minutes, because I just want to talk to you about a few things just for a minute. We already started with Vacation Bible School. I might still make, well, I might just wait till Sunday. Sunday, you better be ready to be a part of announcements again. Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. He won't be here with us. Amen. All right. Well, I'll do my best impression of you. That may be our first step. But anyhow, I thank all of you for volunteering for Vacation Bible School. And also, I want to thank everybody who's participating in that out there on our board. There's things that you can help provide, from foods to all kinds of things that are going to be needed for the children. So I thank for all of you who will support in that way. It's powerful. It's wonderful. I also want to remind you that coming up this weekend, show my first little slide here. I have just a little slide. You know, we were so excited to get into our new building, right? So I want to remind you that July 18th, which is this Sunday night at 6 p.m. in Urbana, at our Only Believe Urbana campus with Pastor Kylan and his wonderful wife, Margot, right down on 701 South Walnut Street in Urbana. We are going to be having a dedication service, and some of us will be here. I'm going to help in that service, and I know Sister Linda and my beautiful wife, Pastor Regina, will be there. But those guys came up to support us. We all support each other. So if you get the opportunity and it's in your heart, please join with us at 6 p.m. in Urbana at the Urbana campus. If you need any more information, I'll be glad to give that for you. And then we are going to play a video from my friend Chris D'Amico, who's going to be with us Thursday next week.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. Hey, this is Dr. Chris D'Amico from Chris D'Amico Ministries from our headquarters in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, listen, we are so thrilled about being with you on July 22nd, 2021, at Only Believe Church with Pastor Philip Walker. What a great man of God. And hey, listen, we're thrilled about what God's going to do in this particular service. We're believing for signs, wonders, and miracles and a great move of the glory of God. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:4, the Apostle Paul said, "My speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of Almighty God." You know, and then Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 40, verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and we shall all see it together." Listen to me. Join the service. Invite as many people as you can to come out, because we are expecting the miraculous, the supernatural demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I'll guarantee you, if Jesus be lifted up, we'll draw all men to him. So our desire and heart desire to lift up his name, the name above every name. So be in the service. Invite as many as you can come that can come. And we are so excited. God richly bless you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. I want you to know that that is a personal message from our friend, Brother Chris D'Amico. He's excited about coming here. And I think it's interesting, because lots of these people that come here, you know, have traveled all over the world. I want you to know that that guy preaches all over the world. He's been to, he'll be able to tell you some of the places he's been, but he's been to many nations and Brazil, India, all over, and he's been preaching for years. He was with Brother Kenneth Hagin for years. Some of you who's been around a while, you all know who that is, and I just believe that that is just going to be just a stirring into a season of refreshing, reviving, strengthening, and it's just going to be really, really good, okay? What else do I have to announce? Oh, yeah. Ooh, how could I forget that? Whew. The probably one of the most important things I'm going to announce tonight is that next Sunday after the service, we are going to have a women's meeting for planning the women's event that we're going to have later on this year. That's going to be really exciting. So please, ladies, if you will, try to arrange your schedules around and be there for that meeting and just see what the Lord is going to do, because I'm telling you, that's going to be a great event that we have later this year that's going to be powerful. And I think with that being said, at this time, I can let these guys out of here. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it's the end of next week, right? That pump for the older kids will be, right? Yeah. Yep. Those younger kids, I guess we're all fired up. But I think Sunday I might request the dance that they were all doing. Hallelujah. But hey, right now what I want to do is just take a few minutes, and I just want to encourage you. We're about to have our offering. And tonight, I really just want you to remind yourself why you give, what you're believing God for. Hello, Bob and Sally. Nice to see you. Praise God. But anyhow, I want to remind you that I want you to be a giver because God wants you to be a giver so that he can work supernaturally in your life. I will tell you that once you start tithing and then giving offerings, you will see what God does for you, and it will stir your faith. I promise you that I was just talking, you guys know Pastor Mike Blow. He was with us for a couple days, and him and I was sitting there, and we were laughing because we remembered that the first year we tithe, we would add things up at the end of the year, and it was like, no way. I couldn't have done what I've done, and this isn't possible. And it was something that we had to get used to, that God is bigger. When we allow God into our areas, he literally takes our resources, and he multiplies them, he stretches them, he does all kinds of things, you know. And when we first started seeing him move on our debt and just change our life and begin to provide for us and do things for us, I tell you what, it is a miraculous thing to have God flowing in your life. Amen? So with that being said, I'm just going to pray over the offering tonight and ask you to bring that forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, that tonight, Father, every person here is giving as they purpose in their heart, Father. Lord, according to your word, you love a cheerful giver. And when people activate their faith and allow you to be a part of their journey in this area of sowing, Father, Lord, you will supernaturally open the windows of heaven. Father, you rebuke the devourer. God, you take that which is given and you multiply it, Father. And Lord, I thank you that as people learn to sow, God, without grudging and without just ritual, but when they learn to sow out of relationship, Father, they will see the abundance of your goodness on all that they do. And love, Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that I'm very thankful for each and every one of you. I really just want you to know something, that one of the things I just really want to do tonight is to just remind each and every one of you of your value and of who you are to the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to remind you that When the Lord went up, he gave instruction to his disciples. And he said, I want you to go. And I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to pray for people and see blind eyes open. And I want you to see people being healed and people being set free. And I want you to do it in my name. And what I want to say to each and every one of you is that if Jesus was here right now and it was his moment of going up, he'd look at all of us and he'd say exactly what he said then to us now. And so tonight, I really want to, you know, we talked a little bit, we ended last week with the fact that, I really want you to really be thinking more and more on a day-to-day basis that when you go to do something, it's not just about what you're going to do in the natural. You know, every time you run to Walmart or every time you go get groceries or go to wherever you go, sometimes we're so focused on just the agenda at hand in the natural realm. And I don't want to disrespect that because spirit, soul, and body, you know, just like at work, I don't want you to fall down on your machine at work time and start praying in the Holy Ghost. And when your boss comes over and says, what are you doing? I'm paying you to work. You say, oh, I just got a revelation from heaven and I just need to pray instead of working. I want you to not do that kind of stuff. You know? In fact, I pray that your boss comes up and says, man, why do you have such a good attitude and why are you so productive? And you say, because, boss, I respect you, but I don't just work for you. My work is unto the Lord. I'm early and I'm on time because Jesus brought me here and I'm going to give him glory. And while I do my work, I'm going to keep an attitude that reflects who Jesus is in my life. Amen? Because he says he'll bless the work of my hands and everything I put and everywhere I go and every place my foot will step, God will give me and help me and strengthen me. So I want you to know, boss, you have a great employee because Jesus is in me. You know, one time I would remember, I don't know why I'm telling you this story. It must be important because this is not the direction that I was going to go. We'll get back to my direction by the power of the Holy Ghost. But I'm just going to take a minute to tell you this story. But this one time I was working and my boss said, Philip, he said, we really need to sit down and talk. He said, because the boss is really uptight about how you're doing in your department. And he said, you know, he said, other areas are laying off. He says, and you're not laying off and you got all your people working. And he said, we're just really concerned about this because we're not super busy right now. And I said, yeah, but I said, look, I said, I have reviewed what's coming. I said, and I've also made sure that what my people are working on follows our 80-20. And he said, it follows our 80-20. I said, oh, yeah. I said, in my welding departments, in my fab departments, every area, we're working on the parts that go on 80% of what we make no matter what. I said, so what I'm putting into stock and inventory, these are standard parts, and I'm telling you that when we get busy, we're going to need all this stuff. And while you guys are calling your people off a layoff and sweating, my people are going to be going out of the door on normal time. And he said, Philip, he said, I'm just telling you, I'm under so much pressure. And I said, I know. And I said, but boss, he says, I know. You're going to tell me that you got this working for me. You work unto the Lord. You've been praying about this stuff, and you know what the Lord has told you. Well, right now, our boss doesn't care about what the Lord has told you. And I said, well, our boss doesn't have to. Just you and me do. I said, and ultimately, boss, if it comes down to it, I will take full responsibility for my decisions. I said, so if it costs me who I am. He said, but I can't lose you. I said, you won't have to, but if it was, you could put it on me. And he said, okay. He says, I'll try to do this a little while longer. So then I came up with another idea, and I told my guys, hey, guys, if you hit what you're supposed to in 4 days, you can have a long weekend. So then my guys were really working, doing their work, and taking that last day off. And some of my older employees really loved it because they've been working long enough that in that summer heat, they were ready to get out of there. Long story short is that 2 months later, they called everybody off of layoff for 10 hours a day and 8 hours on Saturday. And here were my guys. Man, at the end of a regular eight-hour day, they were going out the door. I had coffee money stacked up. I had water money stacked up. And I tell you, every department was mad at me. I mean, people were mad. Why are his people leaving? So guess what that did? That raised our production. Because I didn't know it, but the assembly people started saying, they're not getting out. We're going to try to use all these parts up so that if I have to work overtime, they have to work overtime. And my boss came back and he said, Philip, our numbers have never looked better. And I said, see, boss, aren't you glad that I don't just work for you, I work unto the Lord, amen? So I put that out there because I really want to challenge you right now. Remember last week we talked about, are we letting God be a part of our day? When I go to Walmart, am I just going there to get my stuff and run out? Or am I patient enough to just look around and see, is there someone I need to speak to? Even if I don't preach to them a long sermon, is there someone that I just need to encourage? Is God bringing someone across my path that maybe it's been 10 years since I've seen, and I'm going to go up and say, hey, it's been a while. How are you doing? How's your family doing? Okay, hey, I'm going to pray for you guys. I mean, is there something we're missing just because we're so busy? Just like that story I told you about working my job. Why would you do anything without God helping you? And heaven forbid you tell me, well, I prayed and I believe the Lord led me to get a job here. I prayed and I believe the Lord led me to open up this business. Hey, I've prayed and this is what I do. Well, if you've prayed and that's what you do, then why would you be doing it just on your own ideas without really opening your heart up to not just praying, but then waiting till you see God to move? Getting a clear direction from the Lord. You know, I want to just share something with you, and I just want to share a few things. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to look right in the book of Hosea. And I tell you what, this scripture, I'll break it down for you so it doesn't scare you as much as it could if you just look at it. But it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Oh my gosh, that's a scary, scary thing, isn't it? I want you to know something, that the Lord does not say this stuff to us like, okay, if you forget my law, I'm going to forget your children just because I can. No, what he's telling you, it's kind of like this. If my mom said, Philip, don't touch the stove because it will burn you. When I've touched the stove, and thank goodness I never purposely touched it, but there's times where I've touched it and I've got burnt. But even when I was little and I would touch that thing and get burnt, my mother never said, okay, boy, because you stuffed the touch the stove, now I'm going to release fire to burn you up. No. Right away, my mom ran over and, oh, my goodness, honey, and was taking care of me. But she could not stop the burn that was on my skin because I touched the stove. And that's what God is saying to us here. He's saying, listen, if you go away from my commandments, if you go away from what I want to do for you, I have no choice but to allow these things to happen because that's what sin does. See, when we read this scripture, I want you to know that the Lord's not sitting there saying, well, because you won't follow my commandments, then I will forget your children. No, he's saying, listen, if you don't follow my commandments and if you don't teach your children and if you don't bring them into me, then how am I going to be able to keep them and protect them if they're out here living any old way because you haven't taught them anything about my goodness and you didn't reflect it into their life enough to know that no matter what's going on in life, I still need God. So when this scripture talks about this stuff, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, I want you to know something. You can be saved and still have difficulty in your life simply because in that area, you're ignorant of the way God needs you to take care of it. I want you to know something that just this week, and these were people on the radio, but I heard this person on the radio talk about, hey, they're going to a great church and they really like their pastor there. And someone challenged them and said, well, are you involved? What do you do there? And they said, oh, nothing, but I go. And they said, okay, but, you know, what are you involved in? And they said, well, listen, I go, but right now I just got so much going on. I'm just so busy. And right away I went, listen, you might have a lot going on and you might be busy, but if you don't purposely take time to say, hey, I'm going to set time apart for God and I'm going to be involved in ways beyond just coming to church, I'm telling you that you're missing an opportunity to really prioritize God in your life. There is another person, and listen, I believe in the gift of giving. I want you to know something, that there are business people and people that are going to have a lot of wealth, and it will move on them to give to something. And so this other guy was talking about how he had given some money to a food pantry place so they could get a bigger place for storage, and they were just so thankful. And the guy said to this guy, said, hey, you know what? Really, you should just, we would like for you to come down and just, you know, experience it once. Just come down and actually see what we're doing and what we give to people. And how. And he said, oh my goodness. He says, I. He said, but, you know, I'm going to just give you some money because I just don't have time to do all that. Well, listen to me. I thank God for your money and your donation. But I also want you to know that sometimes you need to make sure that you're taking effort to say, you know what, no matter how busy I am, you know, just like this, you might not be someone that works in children's church every week. But I tell you what, I pray that some of you, God speaks to you and you say, you know what, even though I don't always work in children's church, because they got vacation Bible school, I'm just going to take that time out, give it to God, and invest in children for their future. And I just want you to start really taking time to see that in this busy life we got today, we've got to make sure that we never get swallowed so much up in the busyness of this life that we forget the moments of prioritizing God. You know, just like this, when we talk about how the Bible says that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, you know what? And because, here's what I also want you to see here. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. And what that means is that sometimes we come across things in the Bible. And just because they're not comfortable, hallelujah, praise Jesus, just because we don't like what it had to say, woo, just because we might have to give something up or set something aside, we see the open wisdom of the Bible and the way God wants us to handle something, and we sit there and succumb to the pressure or the selfishness or the fear. Because sometimes we don't want to change something because we're in fear of rejection. Like some of us might be involved in relationships, and all of a sudden, when we read what God's expectation is, we start realizing, you know what? We're not going about things that way. But because we're afraid to look this person in the eye that is supposed to be in a love relationship with us and hold them to a biblical standard, we will compromise. And I want you to know something, that's the kind of stuff that leads to destruction. I'm telling you what, line up with God. You know, just like this, you might be, someone around you might want you to do something with your finances, and they're saying, hey, I want you to make money, and they might have an idea, but I want you to know something, that if that idea is not integrous, it's time for you to stop and say, you know what, even if I could make some money, I'm not going to mix myself up with making it in a way that isn't pleasing to God. Amen. Amen? And so when we read the Word of God, what I really want you to understand as godly people is that when the Lord says it, no matter what we say or no matter what we think, all of a sudden what He has to say overrides us. Amen? And this is not something new. I just want to share this with you out of the book of Deuteronomy. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that you can know that this kind of stuff goes way back. It says this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. I want you to know that we could go to Joshua. In Joshua 1, 8 through 9, the Lord says, Joshua, I need you to take my words and meditate on them. I need you to live the way I ask you to live, because then you will make yourself prosperous and you will have good success. I want you to know something. That sometimes something can look successful, but if it's not done God's way, I'm telling you, it's not good success. And I promise you that when you allow God to rule and reign and move, and you do things the way He asks you to do them, I'm telling you, your outcomes will be good. It says here, you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. And here's the hard part. Neither shall you diminish any from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I want you to know something. That if faith was easy, everybody would do it. Now, the will of God is that every person would do it. It's the will of God that everybody would be saved and everybody would do things God's way. But the truth is, there are people that won't. And the reason they won't is because this is the part they have a problem with. You can't have one part of God's word without the other. You can't have love without accountability. In fact, unconditional love requires accountability. See, sometimes people think, well, grace is given by God and He gives me unconditional love. Yes, unconditional love requires that God tells you what's right and what's wrong. Praise the Lord. I never heard my mother say, oh, Lord, I pray that if my son Philip is trying to do the right thing and he's helping me in the kitchen, God, and if he puts his hand on that stove, oh, Lord, I just pray that you would take all the fire and the heat out of that stove and just save his tender skin. Wouldn't even make sense, would it? What makes sense is the stove is a good thing. Hallelujah. That stove is a good thing. Praise God. It can cook. cook, it can bless, praise God. That stove will get your mouth watered, woo, and make you breathe stuff in. Hallelujah. It'll smell the house with a great aroma. But it could also burn the fire out of you. Amen. And you could also burn something on it if it's not used properly. But what I want you to know something is that with things in the Word of God, the Bible says that a false balance is an abomination, but a just weight is to His delight. Amen? So in other words, what the Word is about us learning what's right and wrong according to God's way and us moving into God's way, even if it's a little difficult, even if it's a little scary. You know, sometimes when you start making changes, people around you might say, hey, what are you doing? You know, but I'm telling you that God wants to help you get where you need to be with Him on these subjects. Amen? But isn't that powerful that the Lord says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now, I'm bringing that up to you today because I want you to understand, in an ever-changing world, the word remains the same. In an ever-changing world, God remains the same. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm thankful for it. Because I promise you, even like this, the Bible says this, God will cause good to come out of a situation that right now you can't see one ounce of good in it. You know, that's why I love the Bible, that the Lord says all things can work together for the good of those who love God according to His promises. Listen, it didn't say all things are going to come from God. All experiences will be wonderful. All things will be easy. No, no, no. It just says all things that come across your life, if you join God in the middle of it, the outcome can and will be different than if you kept Him out of the process. Amen? That is huge. And I also want you to know that the Bible says that God can change things that are accomplished in those who are in the world without Him. See, when the Bible says that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, I want you to know something that sometimes Christians even allow themselves to have demonic oppression going on in their life that they should be freed from. Sometimes Christians are allowing themselves to experience things that should never be a part of their life because they have never allowed God to give them the value of who they really are, nor given Him the authority to move in their life in a way that can please God. I want you to know something, that when you get saved, there are things that have to change. And there are things that you have to be willing to give up or to stand for. You know, the other day someone asked me about a scripture that says, you know, that there may come a time where you have to hate your mother or your father. And I said, wait a minute. When the Bible is saying that, that would be an incorrect interpretation of the scripture. What the Bible is really saying is that I can't honor my mom and my father's word if it goes against God's word. In other words, if someone treated me mad and my mom and dad said, oh, honey, it's okay for you to hate those people that treated you so wrong. Uh-oh. That would be an example where I'd have to say, no, mom and dad, I love you, but really right now I'm working on praying because even though they hurt me, I have to give forgiveness. I have to pray. I have to evaluate this, and I have to decide what decisions I'm going to make based on the word of God. Because sometimes mom and dad might be blinded. Their love might blind them from being able to keep the word out in front of us. But these are things that we have to do. Whenever we read scripture, we need to make sure that we are rightly dividing what's put before us so that we can really hear what the Lord is saying to us, okay? I want you to know that the Bible says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Remember, every time you see Jesus, he's going to point you to the fact that what's revealed in the word is the right way for a person to live and is the right way for us to be approaching the kingdom and God and the things that he has for us. Amen? And so what we need to do as people is we need to make sure that our heart is open to what God wants to do and how the Lord wants to do it. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And I know we went here a couple weeks ago, but I want to go back to something because we were talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, one of my favorite scriptures that it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, I want to tell you something, that anytime we see words like workman or laborer in the Bible, I really like to remind us that we're not actually working to try to be approved of God, as in trying to get his love or approval. That's not what we're talking about. God already loves you, and he's given you salvation. Amen? When we're talking about these things like study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, we're talking about things like this, that the Lord says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that means that you are now empowered to live the way God wants you to live. So if we get his instruction from the word, we don't have to try to do it by ourselves. Once we accept God's way of doing something, the Lord is going to join himself to you in helping that come to pass in your life. I'm telling you that, like a person that says, "Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just afraid to speak, or I'm backwards, or I'm shy." I want you to know something, that there's nothing wrong with being introverted. God makes some people that way. But that person in the Lord ought to be able to grow enough where they can speak and talk and be heard without shame or inferiority. Amen? And I want you to know something, that when we don't even feel like we're good enough to be heard, then we've got to understand that we have not really truly accepted the love of God. Because one thing that God will call you to do is understand that you are valued as who you are. Amen? You guys might not like my squeaky voice, but my voice is important. And I speak because, let me tell you something, whether you like it or not, you need to hear me. Praise God. And Philip. And I'm not just talking about from the pulpit either. I'm talking about if I'm in a store or if I'm any place. I'm telling you that if I feel like the Lord needs me to say something, I'm going to say it. Because here's what's so amazing about your voice. God's on it. And I want you to know something, that when you feel the urge to call someone or say something or encourage someone, I don't want you to be afraid of it, because I want you to know something. God is with you. And there's value on who you are and what you have to say. And I want you to understand something, that when we look at these scriptures and we really start grabbing a hold of them, a part of being obedient to the word of God is a part of what gives you the confidence to be who you are. Amen. You know, when you can start changing the way you talk and the way you think and what you have to say, when you can start changing those things, I'm telling you that it starts to empower you. I pray that people start asking you, "What? With everything going on, why do you still have a smile? How can you be so happy?" And I pray that you start being bold enough to tell people, "Well, my trust is in the Lord. I'm saved. I'm confident not just in myself, but in what the Lord is doing in my life." You know, I want you to really start taking ownership of who you are, but who you are.